It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, to preview all areas of the upcoming football season, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
We're back with the ninth episode of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
We're back.
Week four or five or whatever it is.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah, we can't keep up with the weeks with the AAA.
Yeah, I didn't read my email this week from them.
Yeah, they didn't tell us. But, you know, want to mention one thing at the outset. Really appreciate Jeff Tuttle coming in and filling in for me last week. He did a great job. Y'all all did a great job. I was really wondering if I was going to get to come back this week.
Yeah.
But, you know.
That's the problem here in radio.
It was like Survivor. We took a vote.
Yeah. I lasted longer here than I would have on the island.
I don't ever like missing the show. I'm afraid that at the end of it, we're going to get a call and just be like, you know what? Just take the next couple weeks off.
That's never a good call to get.
No, it's not
as a minister either.
No. Yeah.
Why don't you just stay in Hurricane for a while? Yeah.
but yeah. You know, we're having a really great time doing this.
Yep.
And you know, and I'm getting some good feedback.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I appreciate all the positive things that everybody said. If you have any negative things to say, just please keep those to yourself.
Mm. Or send them to greg.revels@gmail.com.
That's right.
I don't know if that's
yeah, since that's not my email.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, send them to that.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
That'll work. But you know, we are trying to do something here for the kids, and I hope that everybody's enjoying what we're doing. Give you a little bit of information about some of the teams in Southwest Arkansas. You know, I really appreciate our sponsors for allowing us to do this.
Dr. Randy Walker and his empire of Ayers Cleaners and Leopard Care Clinic and Simple Simons.
And Walker Family Clinic,
just to name a few. Also, Harris Drug and Gifts.
Yes. And happy birthday.
Yeah.
Renee Logan.
Renee Logan over at Harris
Her
Drug
birthday
and Gifts.
This week.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Also, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic and DeQueen Animal Hospital.
Yes.
And like all the little ones, Pilgrim's Pride and
Brasher State Bank.
Yeah.
Toe Thumper Lures.
That's right.
Jeff Filter Woods, Filter Insurance.
Yeah.
Pilgrim's Pride.
Can't happen without all you guys.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the listeners. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, we appreciate everybody that helps us out and do this. So
nine episodes in, we're out of our infancy.
Yeah. We're starting to take baby steps, as Tony talks about.
I just wonder if we're potty trained yet.
I don't know.
No. That doesn't happen until episode 40. All right. But yeah, should we just dive right into it? Leopards.
Let's go into it with the Leopards.
Rough night.
Yeah, Leopards had a rough night. You know, I'm going to editorialize a little bit here. You know, but we'll save that for a little bit later.
Okay.
You know, the Bobcats started off quick. We had some miscues. Man, it just blew up on us really quickly, Tony. They just were out everywhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, every week we have taken the field against teams that have more athletes than we do. I don't know anybody that could argue with me on that.
Yeah.
And it is important. It's not important so much for the other team to be perfect. It's important for us to be. And Friday night wasn't our best game we played this season. There was some great individual efforts, though, with Gareth Quintero, Ulysses Cotto, Jake Martin, that we'll get to I think Ulysses had 12 tackles, Jake had 8, Quintero had 69 yards rushing. But it doesn't get any easier this week.
No.
You could make the argument, and you'd be right, that we have the toughest opponent in the state of Arkansas this week.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how we could not have the toughest opponent.
You got the team that beat Bryant.
Well, yeah, they beat Bryant. They're overall ranked number one in the state of Arkansas, according to the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Not sure where Rex is.
Rex has him 3.
That's what I thought. He had him 3.
He's still not sold, Greg. Yeah. We told him what was going to happen.
Yeah, we told him what
we're having to play on their schedule, too.
Yeah.
Can I get you anything else, sir?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we play on Thursday night. But, you know, one of the things about – there's two things I will tell you. You know, this is going to be a monumental task for the Leopards. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that. But there's something to be said for seeing the best team in the state of Arkansas play football.
If you want to, you need to come out Thursday night.
Yeah, and you know, they've got D1 commitments. I can't remember the guy's name. Number two is his number.
Well, I got to interview Coach Bell earlier, and we'll explain why that happened. Mm-hmm. Later.
No, you're fine.
He's talking about I think they have five or six kids that are being scouted, being recruited by D1 schools. They were even at their spring practices. So you got college recruiters at your spring practice. You got it going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, you really do. And one state last year in 5A, 6A the year before, they were state semifinalists.
Right.
And by all accounts, the favorite to win 5A again this year.
Yeah.
I predict they will not have a game that doesn't get to the mercy rule. From here on out.
All the way to the finals?
All the way to the finals.
Okay.
That's Tony Stowers.
I can't argue with him.
Bold men make bold statements.
Yeah, I can't argue with him. And one of the things that we want to talk about just for a second, and here's where my editorializing comes in.
All right,
in.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I know you're going to love it. Here comes the Stephen A. part.
Okay.
I am tired of watching coaches do things that are detrimental to kids.
Mm-hmm.
And when you – and I'm going to call them out.
Yeah.
This is what Hope did Friday night. They're up 42-0. We punt the ball to them with approximately 30 seconds left and a half. They throw a 30-yard pass, gets down to, what, the 11-yard line? 19,
like
somewhere right there. Call a timeout.
Yeah.
Call a timeout so they can get down there and score again.
Right.
Unnecessary.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I want somebody somewhere to come tell me why that is even something that anybody should think about doing.
I couldn't agree more.
I don't understand that. And I've had people tell me, "Well, you've got kids, you can stop me." I've had that's the argument that they use.
Right.
You've got a team, you can stop me. If you're in college mm-hmm. where you can recruit, you're in the pros where you can buy players, I agree.
Yeah.
100%. You know, whatever. You stop me if you want to stop me. But this isn't that way.
Yeah.
We have who we have. You know what we have. You know what you've got. Treat us like human beings.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be so cutthroat, right?
Well, and I just, you know, and I know that and Tony's being quiet because he didn't want to get in on all this, but I think that there's a place for sportsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I'm a little more sensitive to it because we're on that end
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Yeah.
And I will say this, I've seen it happen the other way too. And
right.
I don't agree with it when that happens either.
Right.
I mean, I think that there as a player, when I was a player and not playing all the time, you know, if I'm a sophomore or I'm a junior and I'm sitting on the bench, why are you running the score up when I could have been playing more time?
Right.
You know, I could have got twice as many plays in this game if you just got to 28 instead of 42.
And every team has probably seniors on their bench that have never ran the football.
Mm-hmm.
Give them the football.
Yeah.
Let them run the ball.
Yeah.
I don't get it either.
We're not going to have a Patriots moment where we come back and score 60 points, right? I mean, you're up 48-0 going into half.
And even
perhaps you could play some third string guy, let us get some play in.
Yeah. Even in tiebreaker situations where points could come into play, I think the most you can get for beating somebody is 13.
That's right.
So,
And there's a reason why it's 13, because so people wouldn't do this, right? But anyway, all that being said, Coach Boulding from the Parkview Patriots probably, and they mercy ruled us,
mm-hmm.
but probably the most sportsmanlike mercy ruling that we've had ever.
Yeah.
You know, he played all his players. They probably last year could have scored 120 points.
Right.
If they wanted to. I just think that I just want to know why. I'm mm-hmm. just, I, you know, I don't know if you listen to us on the game nights, mm-hmm. you know, Jay does an amazing job. He's an amazing play-by-play guy. I'm sitting there, and when that happens, I have to become very quiet.
Yeah.
And the reason why I have to become very quiet is because I can't say what I want to say.
Right.
On the radio then. I'm saying it more now.
Yeah.
But you know, I just want people to understand that, you know, these kids work hard mm-hmm. all the time. And I think that that's something that we ought to really take into account when we're doing what we're doing to them.
I totally agree. And there is this thing. I mean, it's like one thing where, okay, you're just beating us. That's one thing. But like, you know, how many seconds left before half with the timeout just to score again? That's obviously just salt in the wound.
Yeah.
You know, instead of maybe, okay, let off, you know, but I don't know how pedal to the metal high school football is meant to be. Do you know what I mean? Like, is it supposed to be just, you know, forward only, never back off, never even let them have a chance?
Well, that's what my point is.
Yeah.
My point is, when you've got the capability of getting whoever you can get, mm-hmm. then okay, full speed ahead.
Sure.
But when you play with who you play, you know, here's the deal is, you know, they play the games for a reason, and there's a reason why you play. But when you're obviously in a game that you're superior and you've overmatched that opponent, let's take our foot off the pedal a mm-hmm. little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you got 60 players. Let some of those other players play.
Sure.
Anyway.
Editorial done?
I'm done. Stephen A's done for the day. So, you know, we're going to talk to Coach Richard Bell and get what his thoughts are about the game this week.
Let's go on down there.
Tony Stowers here with Coach Richard Bell. And Coach Bell, gracious enough to give us an interview this morning. I understand tomorrow you're going to be doing a lot of AD stuff.
Yeah, tomorrow we have a home game coming up against Parkview, so we got to do a Sam's run and get that concession stand loaded up. Yeah, so I got to head there tomorrow and load up on all the goodies that everybody likes to enjoy at ball games.
the unseen glorious parts of being
correct.
Director,
yeah, you ought to see the people. You ought to see the people when you roll up with $4,000 worth of candy and seven different buggies. The looks you get, but yeah.
Well, as a former youth minister, I can tell you I've got those looks as well. Before church camp, we go buy all of our food at one time, and you do get some looks, Coach. Not the result we wanted Friday night. Hope 49 to Queen 7, but. Even at that, I thought there were some real standout performances. I thought that Ulysses Cotto had a really good ball game. He had 12 tackles. He had 55 yards on the ground. Averaged almost 7 yards a carry. He's just a good kid.
Yeah. Again, watching film, everything we worked on over the week, the different routes that they run, the different formations they line up in. You can watch film and see that the kids really soaked in what we taught them. They really knew what they were going to run. The checks that they made, they were in the right positions. Unfortunately, they just couldn't make the play. You know, they would swing a back out of the backfield, and we would run cover two to the trip side just so my safety would sit and take that back out. And sure enough, he was right there. He just misses the tackle, you know. Right. And then we had a couple of plays, you know, where they go in a two-back set, and our outside linebackers have to cross-key the backs and make sure that they have their right position. And, again, our linebackers were there, they just didn't make the play. So the boys are learning the game of football, and they're really learning what we're teaching them, and they're taking it to heart because, again, they're in the right place.
Well, you know, that Patterson to Love combination, I'm not sure what you can do about that as a coach. I'm not sure what you can do about that when you're a foot shorter than you're trying to cover that guy. He's just really talented. They got a really good quarterback. Hope is much improved.
Yeah, again, you know, a big shout out to Coach Turner. He's got those guys going. And again, you know, on the passes that they completed, they were not wide open passes. We were right on top of them. Again, they just went over top of us and got the ball. I thought on offense, we had opportunities to move the ball there right off the bat. You know, we ran power and crossbuck a couple times and split the guards and shot up there. And then they started sending the house. So we decided to start throwing the ball, and you know, and we threw the ball, and our O-line did a great job and gave us time to throw it. But unfortunately, our receivers just wasn't fast enough to get open. You know, we had cuts, and they were there. Just they had some lockdown coverage when they put us in man. But the good thing that I saw was that we actually had time to throw the ball. It was just that now the receivers weren't open. So this is things that we got to work on and try to fix.
And I thought the effort was good. I thought the effort was there all night.
Oh, these kids, that's the best thing about being here at Dequan. It's why I love being here. It's one, because it's my hometown, and two, these kids deserve somebody that's going to be there for them and teach them right. And these kids, no matter the circumstances, they're going to give you everything you got. And so what I tell them every day at practice and at the game, you give me two things. You give me attitude and effort, and I'll love you till the day you die, because that's all you can give me. If you give me everything you got and your attitude's great, then I enjoy my game and enjoy my job, because that's what I want to do, and this is where I want to do it at.
Well, you know, I tell our church family all the time, we live in a blessing bubble. I've lived in several different places in two different states. Best place, best community I've ever lived in. And if that means that we are never the best football team on the planet, and then living here, I'll take it.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, like I said, those kids, they come off, and what I'll try to do is find the little victories that we had. And of course, John Bahena had his first touchdown of the year. So, yeah. So when John scored, we may have been down again, 40-something to 7. But when he came off the field, me and him did a chest bump in the air. You know, it's just I'm going to celebrate these kids on what they do well, and I'm going to try to fix and coach what they need work on.
Well, you know, we talked about the day Cotto had. Quintero, I thought he ran the ball well. He ran the ball 8 times, 69 yards, almost 9 yards a carry. And he is really filled in admirably for Jackson Van Winkle.
Yeah, again, with Jackson going down and us moving Gareth to that fullback position, we had to make some moves at linebacker, because Gareth and Jackson both were starting linebackers. Well, now one's out, so one has to start on the at fullback. So we got, a sophomore crew running over at linebacker, and they're doing a great job. And Jake Martin, who is a sophomore, he was second in tackles.
Yeah.
You're getting a sophomore out there that's learning for the first time, and he's your second leading tackler in the game, and he has some good things that, so if anything, these kids are stepping up to the call. I can't knock a kid for giving me everything he has and doing everything I ask him. So
that's exactly right.
Yep.
Well, Coach, talent comes in cycles in most communities. Now, there's some communities where it seems like they're always loaded. They don't have to reload. Hope is in a good cycle right now, and they are maybe the most improved team in the conference. But last week we got them. We got them in ninth grade. We got them in eighth grade. And maybe that tide's changing a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I always look to the future when you look at those young guys and people that we play. Our eighth and ninth grade group are a strong group. If they haven't won a game, they've been right there at it. With everybody we've played but one, they've had a chance to win every game. I think we got a good little seventh grade group that'll mix in good with that eighth grade group. So the main thing to do is, I came to the Pee Wee games this weekend because I help coach those teams too, and so does Philip Binkley, our offensive coordinator. And we come out and we beat Ashdown this weekend, in third and fourth, and the fifth and sixth stay right there with them. So what we're going to try to do is make sure that every kid in this community, third grade through 12th grade, has the instruction and the confidence from us and from this team and the backing to enjoy the sport of football.
Well, and confidence is a big factor. You hear in Pee Wees we beat Ashdown, or we stayed with Ashdown, Hope, whoever it is, but winning breeds confidence, and that confidence will go with them throughout their football career.
Oh yeah, and again, support and knowing that your coaches are there for you. Just being on the sideline and high-fiving those kids when they have success at a young age, hopefully, that will carry on to them having success in later years in life, and us being there for them and us showing that we care. And our guys, our starting quarterback does the announcing at the game.
Yeah.
And our kids do the chain gang, and high-five these kids. And every Friday morning we have high-five Fridays, and our football players are at the elementary and they're at the primary and they're walking these kids to school and showing them that we care. So the thing is about this community, win, lose, or draw, we're going to be there for each other.
Well, the task does not get any easier Thursday
night. It does not. It does not.
With the Little Rock Parkview Patriots, the defending 5A state champions, beat the defending 7A state champion early this year in the Bryant Hornets. And I know you've probably watched a little bit of film on them. Very impressed with them last year. Do you think they're even better?
I absolutely think they're better. Again, if you look at it, they had a junior high quarterback that could start for anybody in high school last year. And again, he's going to step up this year. And so if they one quarterback goes down, they could pop another one in there. If they have a receiver go down, they could pop another one there. Same thing all the way across the line. You know, when you have, you know, when you have 6'3", 345-pound linemen, and then, you know, you have 6'2", 180-pound receivers that can run a 4.4, well, right behind them is another one. So I think they're great improved. Again, Coach Bolden does a great job of recruiting and developing those teams. And so I think they're one of the best teams I've ever seen in high school football. And I've been doing this for 16, 17 years. And I played against the 5A defending champions Greenwood back in the day when they were just rolling over people. And I've seen a lot of good football, and I've seen a lot of good football players, but it didn't get much better than what they got coming from Parkview.
I have a lot of respect for Coach Bolding, too. He seems like a stand-up guy and a guy that when faced with a choice that usually does the right thing.
Oh, yeah. And then again, you know, he knows that he has a great team, but he's always been a very humble and gracious guy. Yes. You know, again, last year, they had us mercy ruled at halftime, and we came out the second half, and he put his second and third string in there. We ended up winning the second half and scoring a touchdown, and, you know, and just showing us the confidence where he could, you know, if he wanted to put the pedal down and never let up, he could beat some teams by 100. You know what I mean? So, I mean, when you look at the stuff that they talk about in Hootens, when you have, you know, Alabama and Oregon and Ole Miss and Tennessee and Auburn and all these guys coming to your spring practices, you know, not coming to your games, but coming to your spring football practices. I mean, that's
you got it going on.
That's a big deal. Yeah. So he's definitely got a great team. Again, what we're going to do is what we do every week is I broke down the film, their run game, their pass game. We're going to be lined up. We're going to have our kids in the right position to make plays. We're going to prepare for this week just like we do any other week. And by God, we're going to show up and play football and have fun.
That's all you can ask.
That's right. That's right.
Coach, really appreciate your time this morning.
I do too. Hey, go Leopards.
Go Leopards.
That was Tony Sowers with Richard Bell down. Where were you at?
We're at the field house.
At the field house.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Well, I think we're still lacking a player of the game for the Leopards.
Yeah, we had some good players. Gareth Quintero, he was the McDonald's player of the game Friday night on the football broadcast. He had 69 yards. And Jake Martin also had a good game with 8 tackles. But we're going to go with Ulysses Cotto for our Southwest Arkansas.
I don't know at what point I stopped y'all in the game. We were in a timeout, and I looked down. It's like a quarter and a half, and I said, Cotto has 7 tackles.
Yeah. Yeah. He was all over the place. And for that, he also did well on offense. Mm-hmm. He ran the ball 8 times for 55 yards, averaged 7 yards, had 12 tackles in the game. And so for his efforts there, he's going to be the Gentry Chevy, the Queen Leopard player of the game.
Well, you know, he's in our youth group at church.
Yeah.
And the first thing when he hit the door, he asked me, how many tackles did you have me for? And I said, I had you for 12, Ulysses. And he had a disappointed look. I think he thought he had 27.
Yeah, we didn't say he was a math genius. He's a good football player.
He's a great kid.
Yeah, good kid and a good football player. And he's our Gentry Chevy Leopard player of the game.
Very deserving.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, we got to talk about the Horatio Lines now. But first, Harris Drug and Gifts.
Yes.
Your number one place to fill your prescriptions down at 205 DeQueen Avenue.
Beautiful downtown DeQueen.
For sure. The best thing about it is if you are unable physically to pick up your prescriptions, they will deliver it to you. That's a great service that they offer.
You know what else?
What's that?
You don't have to be physically unable.
That's right.
They'll just bring it to you if you ask them.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
if you're busy, they'll bring it to you.
Right.
Yeah. So
Greg Revels gets free delivery all the time.
They will do that for you. You know, the thing about it is they've been there for over 50 years. Yeah.
Point and laugh Tuesday.
Yeah. I take advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I sure do.
I don't blame you for it.
And they're glad to do that for you. They're, mm-hmm. you know, again, they have all kinds of things other than prescription meds. They have you ever seen their over-the-counter medication?
Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, it's just like all over the place. Mm-hmm, there's so much of it.
Yeah.
And you know, those things are all top-rated, the best to use for those over-the-counter medications. Mm-hmm. They also have a bridal registry mm-hmm. where you can get whatever you want, just about. Your store has everything.
You ever stuck staring at the over-the-counter cold medication?
Yeah.
And you're sitting there and you're like, well, this one's fast-acting, but this one's long-lasting.
Yeah.
All right, need to feel good now or later.
Yeah. So I take both.
Just before we go on the air.
That's right before I do my editorial.
Yeah, that's right.
But you know, I mean, you know, if you're looking for a gift for someone, they've got all kinds of decor, gifts.
If you listen to that Razorbacks game, there's no way you're not going to want to go pick up some Razorbacks merch.
That's exactly right.
It was a great game.
It was a great game, and they've got great Razorbacks merchandise.
They do.
The kind you don't find everywhere else.
That's right.
You know, it's not like everybody else. So if you don't want to be wearing something that 48 other people are wearing, you go down there and get it, and it's going to be unique.
Harris Drug and Gifts, 205 DeQueen Avenue. Well, we got to talk about the Lions.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. The Lions had the off week this week, what we anticipate being a really good game coming against the Fout Monster Panthers.
Yeah, they're the Panthers, but we like to call them the Monsters.
Oh, we do. I signed a petition to change the name. So.
Yeah, I think they should. And you know, it's going to be a tough game.
It is. Should be a closely contested game.
Yeah, out at Falk, and you know, really looking forward to it. And we're going to talk to Philip Fields and see what he says about it.
We got him on the line.
Hi, Philip. How you doing today?
All right. How's everybody doing there?
We are doing great. Good. Yeah, we're doing really well.
Yeah. So you had a great night this last Friday night.
Yes, we did. I took my wife out to dinner and.
I know spouses, you know, we don't talk about that enough, but with this football stuff going on, you know, that's really a great thing. You get to do that one time a year because we spend a lot of time away from our spouses when during football season.
Sure is, and particularly for me, but I won't go into that. But
in particular for me, I got two cats that I got.
3 years ago on our bye week, I'm on the volunteer fire department there in Rocky outside of Mena. And we had a hay barn fire on my bye week. And I wound up fighting a fire on that whole Friday night. The 1 week in Ken, and we had to have a fire.
Yeah. The 1 week you could actually do it. You were there.
It seems like that's the way things always work out.
Well, I'm glad you got to take your wife out. I hope that makes up for some of the times you're not there. It doesn't, by the way, just so you know.
Right.
But anyway, Lions got a big game this week.
Yeah. Going to be taking on Falk. Should be a good one. You know, I nicknamed our conference the Spooky Conference last year because we have both the Falk Monster and the Garden Light.
That's a great time. I'm writing that down.
And that continues because, you know, we got some weird scores. Last Friday, you know, Derrickson, Lafayette County, you know, we Lafayette County beat us in a squeaker on the last play of the game week before last. But then Lafayette County comes into Derrick's and wins 16-12, and Derrick's, you know, beat us pretty soundly. So, you know, I don't know. It's kind of weird what's going on there. And it's hard to really draw any good lines in terms of, you know, who's going to be better than who, you know, at this point. And, you know, you got Junction City coming in beating Falk 55-20 last week. So I don't really know what's going on in the 3A. Everybody's all over the map. I don't know how to make a decent prediction on a lot of this stuff.
Well, you know, parity is good. Parity keeps things interesting. You know, when it's 60-6 every week, and that can get tiresome. But no, not knowing who's going to win when you sit down to do a game, there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Phil. Go ahead.
And you had Mineral Springs. Mineral Springs is just dominating the 2A this year. You know, they Foreman Mineral Springs went to Foreman last Friday, and Mineral Springs, you know, won 48-6. And Foreman's kind of struggled this year, but, you know, Mineral Spring, man, that's a really strong 2A team right there.
They are really good. Ranked number one in Class 2A in the state by the Democrat Gazette. And look for them to go deep into the playoffs this year, if not win the whole thing.
Right.
You know, looking at the biggest thing, you talked a little bit about Dirks and Lafayette County. And what surprised me more than anything about that was the low score. I thought there it would be a high scoring game.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that game would have gone into the 30s at least. You know, kind of like our game did. Kind of a low scoring game. That was a little bit of a surprise.
You know, last year Falk beat the Lions 49-22. I feel like it's going to be a lot tighter game than that this time around.
Right. Yeah, I think we're looking at a really competitive game coming up this week against Falk. I mean, it's going to be our opening of conference play. It's going to be our first conference game. You know, Coach Castleman's does a really good job getting the players ready for everything. We're in great shape. I mean, usually, you know, when the bye week came up as a thing a few years ago, it one of the main things everybody was looking at, I think, was that, hey, you know, it gives us a week to rest our players and get some injuries back and all that. But, you know, Horatio's been really strong this year in terms of their conditioning and their injuries, haven't had a lot. So we've done really well. And I think that extra week of preparation for Falcon is gonna set really well for us.
You know, that's strange how things work, because injuries usually hit teams very hard or not hard at all. You know, the injury bug has hit the Leopards pretty hard. And right. That's a blessing that you guys have been able to get this far in the season and really not have anything major going on. You know, you look at the Falk Monsters and the Dalen Sprayberry, real quick tailback, had over 1,000 yards last year, 10 TDs, and they have a good line. That's one of the things that Hooten's mentioned. All conference guard Cody Henderson. And they're always well coached. I really have a lot of respect for Jerry Littleton. He does a good job of adjusting his team to what your team's doing. There's a lot of coaches that aren't very good at that. I'm going to do my thing. It doesn't matter what you do. And a lot of times, unless you just have real superior talent, you suffer doing that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and also one of the things about Falk this year is they hadn't played in a close game. I mean, you know, if you look at, I mean, I guess Dirks was probably the closest game, the first game of the year, but you know, they beat them by 2 touchdowns. Then they beat Foreman, 61-7 or something.
12,
yeah, something like that. And then they got beat by Junction City just about as bad as they've been beating teams.
Right.
And, I think one of the things that it's going to be interesting to see how they play in a game that's close. And I think this game's going to be a close game. If you make it a close game, I think that's going to be to the Lions' advantage.
Yeah.
It's always interesting to see how a team rebounds. And yeah, you're right. I mean, that's a great observation. I mean, Falk has not really had a close game until they got beat by Junction City here. They got beat pretty soundly. You know, and the question is for these young men playing the game, you know, how well do they handle that mentally? Do they take that and they feel defeated and they come in down? Or are they able to overcome that and come in and bring their best game? And Falk's well coached, so I strongly suspect they'll come into Horatio ready to play a great game. But, you know, I agree, though. I think it's going to be a good competitive game. I think we should be looking at a good one. I think we're probably looking at a pretty good score. I think we should have a score that goes well in the 20s, maybe the 30s. It'll be interesting to see.
Well, I think that'd be great for the Lions, I think.
Yeah, so. I do too. You know, one of the things that adds confidence to a team, and Horatio is, I hate to use the word baby steps, but baby steps forward are good. And sure. This team is taking baby steps. Winning a close game against a quality opponent, that would go a long way.
It really would.
Sure. You know, Lafayette County, even though we lost a close game by a quality opponent, you still gain a lot of confidence when you're able to score quite a bit, which we were. You know, we scored a number of touchdowns there with just good fundamental offense. When you have that success, it builds your mental security in terms of what you're doing. So I still count that game against Lafayette County as a win in our players' eyes, because they gained a lot of experience, a lot of confidence.
Well, it sounded like between first and fourth down, you guys won the game. It was special teams and kind of a fluke play that really put you all behind on the scoreboard.
Yeah, there's two plays there that really kind of threw things off. We had a return kickoff for a touchdown, then we had a fumble recovery, which technically wasn't a fumble. The ball never hit the ground. It was a straight-up strip. But, yeah, you take those two away, and it's a whole different game.
Well, Philip, we really appreciate you joining us, and we wish the Lions all the luck in the world against the Monsters this weekend.
Yeah.
And we look forward to hearing from you next week.
Yeah, thanks for taking your time to visit with us today.
You betcha. We're looking forward to it.
All right. See you, Philip.
All righty. Thanks, guys.
All right. Dr. Randy Walker is our title sponsor and the Walker Enterprise for this podcast, the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
Couldn't have a better sponsor.
Absolutely.
Either.
especially with the amount of stuff we get to talk about.
Yeah, we get to talk about all over town.
That's right.
You talk about Walker Family Clinic.
777. They're open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So it doesn't matter. Visit them in person or give them a call, 870-584-3000. You can even call that number after hours. Option 6 will get you to their 24/7.
And they'll talk to you.
They will.
And you know what they are? They're not a specialty clinic.
No.
They're a multi-specialty clinic.
DOT physicals, drug screens, workers' comp, employment and pre-employment physicals for the employer out there listening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As well as all the things you'd imagine. Wound care, fracture care and casting, joint injections, minor skin lacerations, or a typical Friday night for Greg Revels, IV fluids and antibiotics. Adult and pediatric allergy and immunizations and EPSDT wellness physicals.
Hey, they'll even pull a bullet out of you.
They will indeed.
Yeah, they will.
Absolutely do that.
That's exactly right. You know, also they got the Leopard Care Clinic.
They do.
And you know, that's located at the Queen School System, and their goal is to help improve the lives of the Queen School District children and faculty by bringing essential services to them where and when they need them most.
Yes.
So you don't have to leave school to be cared for. You have the Leopard Care Clinic by Dr. Randy Walker right there on campus, a full-service medical clinic open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the Leopard Care Clinic supports student success because healthy students are better learners.
Whoever they paid to come up with that tagline, pay them more. All right. It's Simple Simon's Pizza also. 870-642-4103. Dine in, carry out, or delivery. What day was it last week that I went to their buffet? I went to the buffet last week.
Did they have wings?
They didn't have wings. I didn't ask, though.
You need to tell them Greg's coming with you.
Yeah, I know. I'll get wings for sure. But the thing is I wasn't looking for wings that day. I was looking for pizza. Because I was watching those pizza reviews, like I told you.
Yeah.
Dave Portnoy, yeah. Barstool Sports. Yeah.
One bite.
One bite. Everybody knows the rules. The same thing at Simple Simon's.
Yeah.
You can go there for the buffet. It's $8.99. And then you can get a drink as well. Full salad bar. Full pizza bar. I got there at 11:01. And everything was piping hot. I play my day around it, honestly. I think this podcast released late because I went that day. I did that instead.
You went on Wednesday?
Yeah, I went on Wednesday. So, I think it was.
Can I release the podcast or go eat pizza? I'm going to eat pizza at Simple Simon's.
To fuel.
Hey, you know what I say? You know, good choice.
Absolutely. Yeah, dine in, carry out, delivery. Also, let them cater your events, especially your sports events. They have packs ranging from feeding 10 people all the way up to 30 people getting
the beast.
Full. The beast feast. Yeah, that's right. Feeds 25 to 30 people or us. Just us in this room.
Yeah.
That's whatever it is. It's Simple Simon's. We appreciate them so much. The Dr. Randy Walker Enterprise.
One more thing.
Most. Yeah.
Ayers Cleaners.
Ayers Cleaners. We forgot about that.
Yeah, so after you go to Simple Simon's, especially if you're Tony, you need to take your clothes to Ayers Cleaners because you're going to have marinara sauce all
that's
down
right.
your shirt.
Yeah.
He makes fun of me because on game night, on Friday night for the pregame meal, I never wear the shirt that I'm going to wear on the sidelines. I wear a different shirt. See, Jeff does the same thing. Because I know me better than anyone.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever eaten with Tony that he hadn't spilled something on his shirt.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ever. And we eat together a lot.
Right? We do.
You do.
Let me tell you what. At the Stowers house, there were two kinds of people. There was the quick and there was the hungry. And so I ate very quick, which leads to things getting spilled on your shirt.
Oh, man.
At least I'm a man enough to admit it, and I'm smart enough to do something about it.
I kind of like it. That's the future, man. No more napkins, just the shirt.
Wear another shirt.
When you come out of the restaurant, put another shirt
on. When you get done, you take it to Ayers Cleaners.
Boom.
They'll get all that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll get it all out for you. They can, you know, they have dry cleaning.
Yep.
They have
washing. What is that anyway?
Dry cleaning. You want to go again?
No, I don't want to do that again.
That's where they use dry to clean it.
Is that just where they use their fingernail to?
Yeah, they scrape it off of the fingernail. Okay. And you know, they will never wear your clothes to the movies.
Okay, good.
You don't have to worry about finding a ticket stub in your pocket when they're done.
Randy's got your favorite Razorbacks jersey on.
That's right.
Like,
that's right. That'll never happen.
Yeah.
At Harris Cleaners. They do a great job, and they're open not only all day Monday through Friday, they're also open Saturday mornings for pickup now.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, there you go. Great sponsor, our title sponsor. We appreciate all of them and everybody who works for them. All great people.
Yes.
And we've got a very special in-studio guest, our guest host last week, Mr. Jeff Tuttle.
All right. Jeff, tough loss for the Outlaws against Lafayette County Friday night, 16-12.
Yeah, it was a rough night for the Outlaws. I mean, two losses in a row puts them at 2-3 on the season. And, you know, you hate to lose any conference game, but to start out 0-1 in conference and know it's not going to get any easier from there.
Well, it looked like the turning point in the game was a 60-yard fumble return by Jaden Stewart. And you'd like to think that, you know, that happened against Horatio as well, right? Am I dreaming that, or is that
correct?
Yes,
it did.
And, you know, once is a coincidence, twice is a trend. We'd like to call the Cougars lucky. They're not lucky. They seem to be opportunistic.
Well, you know, that was a big play in the game. But one thing that doesn't show up on the stat sheet, the Outlaws took the opening drive and drove down to the 2-yard line and went to what they call the heavy package with a direct snap to Jordan Hill. You know, they've been running it on 2-point conversions, which is another factor in this game.
Yeah.
He didn't convert those. But we snapped it over his head when we're about to take the lead in the ball game, and the Cougars recovered, and, you know, that turnover was huge.
Well, you know, as you pointed out, you know, Dirk seemed to control the game. They ran 12 more plays. They had 50 more yards. But it seemed like the Cougars are the first team that came up with a answer for Jordan Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, they held him just under 100 yards. Excuse me.
Which is a great night for most normal running backs.
Yeah.
It's not,
yeah.
That's not, I mean, 20 carries for 95 yards is nothing to sneeze about.
No, I mean, that's a big
deal. It's just not what Jordan Hill's been doing.
No, I mean, for him, it seems like, man, they bottled him up.
That's right.
And he almost had 100 yards.
That's right. That's right. I mean, not, you know, but you know, it was something that surprised me, Jeff, about it was the scoring. I thought it would have been a higher scoring game. I know that the Outlaws had several turnovers, but did the Cougars have several turnovers, or did?
Well, let me start by saying I'm not one that complains about officiating, especially on the air when I'm doing the game.
We don't either.
Because I mean, I just that's just not something I think you should do,
you know, and
I hear people do it, but I'm not that guy. Now, on the flip side, let me complain about the officiating. Since I'm on this podcast with y'all, I'll do that.
Well, this is different.
Stewart scored the two touchdowns for Lafayette County, or Lafayette, as some people say.
Yeah.
I prefer Lafayette. 77-yard touchdown. We done the broadcast from the visitor stands. We do that from time to time, and that's our best place down there. Directly in front of us at about midfield, he stepped out of bounds clearly and then scored a touchdown.
Ah.
His second touchdown on that 60-yard fumble return, Rustin Simmons was clearly on the ground when he stripped the football from him and ran it 60 yards for a touchdown, and all the Outlaws are just kind of standing around. But, you know, you have to overcome officiating in ball games like this. I'm a firm believer in that. Now, one of the turnovers where Andrew Mack for the Outlaws had an interception, he intercepted it at the 1-yard line and returned it and knocked the pylon down, but they called him out at the 1. So 98-yard interception return, blocking a back, ended up being about an 80-yard penalty when it's all said and done. So the Outlaws had their opportunities to win this ball game, but, you know, they came up on the short end, and that's – you just have to work this week in practice and – you got a tough test coming up against the Rattlers.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what I was going to say. It's not going to get any easier this week. I believe the Murfreesboro Rattlers are undefeated so far this
year. They haven't had a close ball game.
No.
You know, Hooton's picked them 5. They're probably the surprise of the 3-2-A, in my opinion, the way that they've played.
Yes, and, you know, their coach, y'all are familiar with Brad Cheshire. You know, he was at DeQueen, not sure how many years, but he's moved on to Murfreesboro. And I know they were running kind of a spread offense. And I've been told that they, Buddy Ray, I don't know if y'all know Buddy Ray. Mm-hmm. You probably, yeah. You know, when I was in school, he coached at Foreman.
Yeah.
He went to Texas. He's been at Genoa Central.
Refereed a lot
mm-hmm. of games, you know, especially basketball mm-hmm. and stuff. And now he's volunteering
yeah.
for the Rattlers. And somebody told me he had them out of the spread and they don't make mistakes and turn the ball over, you know, just kind of a control type game. So.
Well, it looked like that maybe they're running a little bit of eye. They're using two backs kind of interchangeably in Noah Cox and Malachi Sanders. And both of those look like strong dudes.
Yes. I mean, and those are names, you know, that I can remember calling last year. I believe their quarterback is Wilcher. I'm not sure of his
That's correct. Leighton first Wilcher. Name.
But, you know, and they got some good athletes there, and they're probably looking for revenge against the Outlaws, I would think.
Yeah, Outlaws got them last year, 39-12. For what it's worth, when you look at if you look at Hootons and you look for a weakness for Murfreesboro, there's a lack of depth, which, you know, that you find out a lot in 2A football. But I'll tell you what, Brad, as far as a football coach, stand-up guy, I could not think more highly of him.
And, you know, the Outlaws, you know, it's sink or swim time now. You start out 0-1.
Yeah.
Murfreesboro undefeated this week. They do have them at home. And then they travel to Mineral Springs the following week. They're also undefeated. So you got to make something happen now, or you're fighting for that number 5 seed in the conference.
Yeah,
so
you're exactly
five
right.
Teams make the playoffs in the
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because I'm gonna make a venture a guess that the coaching staff, the football team, you, everybody in Dirk's expected them to beat Lafayette County.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, you hate to presume, but they may have overlooked them a little bit going yeah. down there. It's the third homecoming game in a row the Outlaws have played. Girden had homecoming, the Outlaws had homecoming, and then the Cougars homecoming the other night, and people get up for those games. One thing I'd like to point out and mention a few more of the kids, you know, Andrew Mack had a good game for the Outlaws. He scored the two rushing touchdowns. We'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, defensively, our linemen were the leading tacklers. You know, Kaysen Dugan, Coulter Simmons, Jake Catt, Jaron Hill, Matt Barber. And if your defensive linemen are leading in tackles, you're doing the right yes. thing. I yes. mean, so those kids, you know, they played a good game, and they just had to keep it up this week.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing that is concerning to me, you know, with us covering the Outlaws, is you lose to Lafayette County. This is a big game with Murfreesboro this week, just as far as tiebreakers go. Because right now Lafayette County would have the tiebreaker over Dirks, and Murfreesboro could get that as well if they lose this one. And it could put them behind eight ball in a situation where they might be tied with one of those teams.
That's correct. You know, tiebreakers, especially when you go taking five teams,
yeah,
it really comes into play at the end of the season. The way the last 3 weeks play out will be big. One thing I do have in my notes that we can mention is the Outlaws get back defensive back wide receiver Juan Salazar this week. He's been out with a back injury the last few weeks, and I was told he's been cleared to play this week. So, you know, he'll be big in the game plan.
That's good. And you know, one thing you mentioned about this past week against the Cougars, you mentioned Andrew Mack, and just want to talk about him just for a second. He's going to be our toad thumper Dirk's Outlaw player of the game. He had 130 combined yards, 2 rushing TDs, and as you said, basically 100-yard an interception that he ran back almost 100 yards and got called back, but a great interception and return there too. And for his efforts there, he's going to be our toe thumper, Dirk's Outlaw player of the game. Hopefully this week the Outlaws at home against the Rattlers, they'll bounce back from this loss and they'll do well. Anything else for us, Jeff?
Not that I can really think of. You know, the Junior Outlaws, they go to Murfreesboro. They're undefeated on the season this year, so everybody come out and support the Junior Outlaws and show up in the holler Friday night.
Okay. And also talk about, I know it's going to be afterwards, but you got the seventh grade playing tonight against Costock River, right?
Well, no, it's our seventh grade junior Outlaws will play before the game Thursday night.
Okay.
Costock River, Eagles.
Yes.
And Blevins Hornets.
Oh, okay.
Are using junior high's only program they have right now. They're playing at Red Ayers Field in Derrick's tonight, which by the time you hear this,
it'll be too late.
Yeah. We'll let you know.
You put it so well last week, though. If it's in real time, you should have been there yesterday.
We'll try to remember to let you know next week how it went.
So. Yeah. That's exactly right. Well, Jeff, we appreciate you coming in every week and all your insight into not only Outlaw football, but Southwest Arkansas football. Appreciate your help and hope the Outlaws have a great week this week.
Thank y'all for having me.
Yep. Go Outlaws.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic.
Both
ready there for your convenience.
That's right. And they got your animals taken care of all over Southwest Arkansas.
Indeed.
With two locations, Ashdown and DeQueen. They're located at 1690 Highway 70 West in DeQueen, 870-642-VETS, or 8387 for you that can't spell.
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know. Or the Ashdown Vet Clinic, 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, 870-898-5181.
Yeah. Coming out of this time, it's time.
It's time.
Flea and tick prevention still.
It is time.
Yeah.
Just took Ollie out there yesterday, got flea and tick, got the heartworm.
Nice.
Got rabies, got it all done. Boom.
Just like that.
In, out, nothing to it.
And between two different locations that are conveniently located, your spay and neuter programs are taken care of as well.
That's exactly right.
I took mine over there, keep them overnight, super happy. Stitch job was like, whoa, this thing. You know, you couldn't even tell anything happened.
Yep.
2 days later, those stitches were gone. Didn't even notice.
Yep.
And, I don't even think they use, like, the heaviest, crazy, what do you call them? Like, the drugs that they, like, didn't even notice.
Sedatives.
Didn't even notice a change in their personality at all. So, whatever they're doing over there, they're doing right. Because I've had other spay and neuter clinics, not around here before, but bad stitch job, heavily medicated. You know, bleeding, you know, none of that happens with the Queen Animal Hospital.
No, it
right?
does not.
It just doesn't.
No,
all right. Slow Ollie down, you'd have to be heavily medicated.
That's right.
Yeah. But hey, you know, he does a good job.
Yep.
He does a good job. Dr. Martin is the best.
Large animals as well. So don't forget about that. Not just the little pets.
From giraffes all the way down to mice.
Absolutely. Rhinos.
Yeah.
You know,
anything.
You bring a rhino in there, he'll do whatever he can to make sure that gets the best health care possible.
That's right.
All right.
That's exactly right. Speaking about Ashdown, we're going to talk about Ashdown Panthers just a little bit now.
Absolutely.
You know, they beat Waldron this week. 52-14.
Yeah.
Had some outstanding performances. Antonio McDuffie, just to do it all, three touchdowns, two kick return touchdowns, Tony.
He was everywhere.
You know, Ty Marks came in for Darnell Williams and had two touchdowns. And Grayson Porter had two passing TDs and one rushing. So a lot of guys with a lot of good stats, and we're going to talk to Jim Cross now and see what he has to say about it.
And, Greg, the Ashdown Panthers in action at Waldron on Friday, and we got Jim Cross on the line right now.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
And good morning, guys. Good to be with you today, and always good to talk about a Panther victory.
Yeah, they had a big victory, Ashdown 52, Waldron 14. Just tell us a little bit about what went on.
Yeah, we were coming off a two-game losing streak, and the coaches made some offensive adjustments. We went from the spread offense and the shotgun to more of a flexbone look with some guys in motion, and tried to simplify things. And we're able to finally get the running game going with Ty Marks and Antonio McDuffie, and the offense looked a whole lot better. I think it made it easier for the linemen to simplify their blocks, and it seemed to flow pretty good. But we were still able to get the ball to Wood Walton on the outside, and so it's not just a 3 yard and cloud of dust kind of offense. It's still looking for some big plays, and with Grayson Porter at quarterback, we can still throw out of it. And so for a basically a 3 day change, I thought it looked very good.
Do you anticipate them continuing that on into the rest of the season, or is that just for one game, you think?
I think they'll continue on. Coach Richardson said they'll still run some spread, but they're going to pretty much, I would say, probably 80 to 90% of the time they're going to be in that flex bone look, and where they have one fullback and a running back with them in a wing, or a lot of times they had two wings in the fullback, and a lot of guys in motion and just trying to run some misdirection and try to get the ball in our playmakers' hands.
Yeah, well, you know, it looks like some Ty Marks transferred over from Foreman. He had a big night.
Yeah, he sure did. He's a real north and south guy. He may not break the 80-yard run, but he's not looking for that. He's looking to go straight downhill. And there were several 7, 8, 9-yard gains that were just a beautiful thing to see. He doesn't mind contact, and he's a physical runner. And I think he's just what we needed in this new offense.
Well, that's great. It's good to see Braden Walton back on the stat sheet. I wasn't here last week, but I know that he's kind of after the first couple of games, I hadn't seen him there for a while. I know he was still doing things, but just not as much maybe.
Yeah, we tried to get the ball in his hands in several opportunities, and he caught a long pass for a touchdown. And then it seemed like a couple of other slant routes. And, you know, anytime, you know, I was kidding with Grayson yesterday before practice, I said, man, anytime you got one-on-one with Braden Walton, I just throw it up to him. I mean, he's that talented. And I think with this offense, if you get the running game going and you get Braden out there by himself with the safety cheating in to stop the run, boy, I sure like our chances with that.
Yeah.
Tatum Johnson still doing Tatum Johnson things with 10 tackles.
Boy, I'm telling you, I even joked on the radio. One time I thought he didn't make the tackle. I said, I'm sorry, he did make the tackle. I mean, and he's as good a tackler as I think I've ever seen. He's only about 5'7", 145, maybe 150. But I'm telling you, fellas, when he tackles you, you go down, and they moved him from the outside to the middle because they moved Hayden Ziegler, the other middle linebacker, inside to play a five-man front. And so basically played a 5-2 and then put Tatum Johnson inside. And I mean, there were plays that seemed like he made three or four tackles in a row. I mean, he was all over the field.
You know, it looked like Antonio McDuffie was the what you'd call it, a good night. Yeah, one rushing touchdown, two kick returns for touchdowns. I mean, looked like he had a big impact on the game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, Jim. Have you ever seen two kick return TDs in a game?
He probably has.
Well, it was kind of funny, fellas. After he did the first one, I thought, okay. I said, I even said on the air, I said, surely they're not going to kick it to him again. And they did. And I said, and they did it. And I said, there he goes. I mean, he could have run to Ashdown. I mean,
that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, you don't want your defense giving up points, but Mr. McDuffie would have liked for him to kick off all night long, it looks like.
I've told this story.
Two out of three kickoffs.
100 times, but I'm going to tell it till somebody does it. I statted for a guy at Hurricane High School in West Virginia who kicked the ball out of bounds every time. Every time, no matter who we were playing, every time. And he would turn around and look at a coach and look at me and say, no ball kicked out of bounds was ever returned for a touchdown.
We had a kicker do that one year at Derrick's, Tony, but I'm not sure it was intentional.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping they would score again just to see if they kick it to him again. But unfortunately, the clock ran out. But I'm telling you, fellas, they kicked it to him. And he wasn't even touched. I mean, he'd take a jab step one way and cut to the other end of the field. I mean, if we were playing flag, they wouldn't have got it. I mean, he just took it to the house both times, and there was no doubt that he was going to score.
Well, this is going to come as a shock to you, but our Horatio State Bank Ashdown Panthers player of the game this week is going to be Antonio McDuffie.
Wow, y'all must have had a really deep meeting to come up with that.
I know that's a big shock.
Jeff and I had an arm wrestling thing, and then McDuffie.
Left-handed.
and McDuffie come out on top.
One question I think people might be interested in, I know that Darnell has moved on, and I know we don't want to talk a whole lot about people that aren't there, but I you know, somebody that played at such a high level, we just want to wish him the best as he moves on and look forward to watching the Panthers without him.
Yeah, I've reached out to Darnell and, you know, wished him well and, you know, told him I'm here for him. And hey, he's always in my heart, and he's a great young man, and he'll do fantastic things at Texas High. But what it's done, fellas, it's given other guys an opportunity to step up. And, you know, Ty Marks took advantage of it. And at safety, Tramell Williams played, and Tramell did a fantastic job. And so, yeah, it's just kind of life. It's the next man up. And so it's given some other guys an opportunity. And there's no doubt Darnell is going to do wonderful things. And so you just kind of, you wish him well and kind of have to move on.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. Next man up. And Ty Marks had a great game and running the ball. And Tramell Williams, great job at safety. And just like you said, just move on and go on. Well, Jim, you got a week off before you hit Murderer's Row. You think Coach Richardson's got any big plans for the bye week
to practice that flex bone?
yeah,
week to practice new offense, and he's looking, and also getting Nash Brown healthy. Nash didn't play Friday, and so that'll be a big boost, which I thought was a great move, because of course Nash wanted to play. Nash was begging to play, but the coaches decided, hey, we want to get you healthy. And I talked to Nash yesterday. He said he's almost 100%, and so I'm assuming by next Friday, he'll be, and that's your best defensive player. So that'll be a big help trying to stop the running back from Malvern.
Yeah, I can't think of his name, but you're right. He's really good. And you know, the interesting thing about the Ashdowns Conference is you're looking at, you know, I looked at the Nashville Arkadelphia. You know, Arkadelphia was 0-3, and come into and beat Nashville. Of course, you look at who they played and you understand why they were 0-3. But then you also look at Malvern, you know, I think they've lost two games also.
One of them was to a 6A school and then some other big time school in Texas. So you know, they've played, you know, extreme competition. I wasn't really surprised that Nashville lost, but I was surprised at the margin of the score.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that Nashville will get things rolling back pretty quickly, because that's not what they're used to seeing. So that may be bad news for the rest of us.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you're right, but you know, it also says something about Arkadelphia too.
Yeah, it does too, doesn't it?
Arkadelphia is a tough team because, Nashville didn't just roll over.
I saw some rankings this week for 4A, and I don't remember what the site was. Didn't have Arkadelphia in the top 10 in 4A. I'm thinking, man, what are you smoking?
Yeah,
they may be the best team in 4A.
They may be.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Arkadelphia, fellas, is they lost all five linemen. So they started five new linemen. So, you know, sometimes that takes a while. But, you know, just in my time of being here in Ashdown, Arkadelphia's always had a good offensive line. And so I would be shocked if they didn't this year. And maybe it's just taking them a while for that to occur. So they're going to be tough.
Jim, don't jump out of your chair. Jalen Dupree. That's
Jalen Dupree. That's right.
6'1", 220, 4.5 speed. So,
a little guy,
a real fast bowling ball.
Little guy, slow guy.
Yeah. I don't know why I couldn't think of his name. I've had nightmares about him for 2 weeks.
Well, you got two more weeks to have nightmares.
I do. Yeah.
And just a side note, and we'll talk more about Malvern next week. Hooton's picked them number one in 4A at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and they're really good. And you know, you got a Murderer's Row coming up with them, Arkadelphia and Nashville, after this bye week. Hope you have a great bye week, and the Ashdown Panthers do. Get everybody healed up and get ready for the bulk of your conference play there over the next 3 weeks.
Jim, yeah, it'll be fun, fellas.
Yeah, you got anything else for us today, Jim?
Well, I think y'all made a wise choice on Antonio McDuffie. That's
telling you what, man. you could combine the four IQ. Matter of fact, Tyler left the room for a little bit, and the IQ of the room went up. So
yeah.
But we were able to come to a consensus on Antonio McDuffie.
That's exactly right. Jim, we appreciate you as always. We'll look forward to talking to you next week. We'll talk about the Malvern Leopards at that point.
All right. Looking forward to it, guys. Have a good week.
You too.
Bye.
Thanks, Jim.
So let's talk about Foreman real quick.
Okay, Foreman lost to Mineral Springs Friday night 48-6. They have a bye week this next week, which is the last thing they need. They hadn't got to play as much as everybody else due to an illness 1 week and then a lightning storm the next week. Mm-hmm. And they really need to be playing, but they're getting a bye week, and that's going to help them out. And we just wish the best for the Foreman Gators and look forward to talking to them more next week.
Absolutely. Well, we still have a game of the week to talk about.
We still have the Shelter Insurance Woods Agency game of the week. And that game this week will be the Murfreesboro Rattlers at the Dirks Outlaws.
Mm.
Huge game for Dirks. I would call it a must-win game.
Yeah.
Almost in their season up. You know, they do get five teams into the state tournament out of their district, but you don't want to be on the bottom end of that, because then you're traveling all the way across the state and you're going to be playing the first team from some other conference, first or second team. So big game for them. Look forward to that. I think that it's going to be a really good game, and we just wish the best for the Outlaws. And that's your Shelter Insurance Woods Agency game of the week. The Dirks Outlaws facing the Murfreesboro Rattlers.
Gotcha.
In the holler.
Any thoughts on that game, Jeff?
I think Greg summed it up pretty well. You know, you hate to call any game at this point in the season a must win, but mm-hmm. I mean, you got to start making some noise now.
Yeah. Understood.
Yeah.
Well, and we still have to do player of the area as well. I'm sure there's a lot of contestants for that.
Well, there are a lot of contestants, but there is one guy that really stood out this week, and that was Antonio McDuffie.
Mm.
He had three touchdowns against Waldron for the Ashdown Panthers, one rushing TD, two kick return TDs, which is, I mean, I've never actually seen that in a game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And you know, I know it's happened, but I mean, I've never seen it. And that is crazy. And he's going to be our Pilgrim's Pride area player of the game.
Awesome. Did you get yardage for those? One was like 70 and then 60, I think it was.
Yeah, I think so. 70 and 60. I do not have the yardage, but something like that. But anyway, he had three touchdowns, two kick return TDs. He's our Antonio McDuffie, our Pilgrim's area player of the game for this week.
That's right, man. Awesome.
And go ahead. That pretty much sums it up for this week.
One of my favorite episodes, definitely. Very funny. Jeff, great in here. And Jim Cross.
Yeah.
Philip Fields.
They all did great. And just
Stephen A. Revels. Stop by.
Yeah. Stephen A. Stopped by for a minute. Apologize for that if it offended anyone. Hey, I really don't.
Send it all to me.
Apology accepted.
Yeah. I'm just rude. You know that.
No.
But anyway, I mean, just to mention that one more time, I'm sorry you got me going on.
You're fine.
I just want kids to have a good time.
That's right.
And you know, and there are things you can lose and still be respectable to other.
Of course.
Or, you know, you can beat somebody and still respect them.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I think that's the way to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We're so glad that y'all listened to us, and we appreciate all the comments and just the support that we get out in the public, and we ask you to just continue listening. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.